Calvary was empty. All you see is a shadow of really three crosses, but the evidence of a lot of crucifixion that had taken place. But on this day, Calvary was empty. You see, we get the word Calvary from the Greek word cranion. It means our head. It means our who we are, what we are in our head. Cranion, the crania. Comes from a Latin word, calvaria, and you transliterate that, which means say it in English so that we folks can understand it, and it comes out Calvary. The place of a cranion. The place of a skull. But it's empty now. Since the events on Friday evening, just before the Sabbath began at 6, it was even quiet now in the garden. It's the day following the Sabbath. And I want you to look and try with me to understand Jewish time, because people say, was Jesus in fact in the tomb 72 hours? No. But according to Jewish time, he was in the tomb 3 days. I gave you in your worship folder this morning a little timeline, a chronological timeline that I've given our folks here many times. I've updated it, and I've got it on the screen for you as well. But in addition to that, I wanted you to see what Jewish time is like. If you'll take that out and look at it with me, if you will. Because if you look down about middle ways, in the one that you have, you will see that on the left side, I've got what we would refer to as modern time, our Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then on the right side, I've got the word sunset, 6 p.m., because Jewish days began at sunset. And so if you look with me, at sunset on Thursday, the Passover had to be eaten before 6 p.m. And you see that after 6 p.m. on our Friday to 6 p.m. on Friday evening, all that took place with Jesus. The body had to be in the tomb, according to Jewish law, before the Sabbath. The Sabbath began on our Friday at 6 p.m., day one. And now, Saturday, Jesus is in the tomb. Day two, we wait. But then on our Easter, our Saturday at 6 p.m., sunset, the day following the Sabbath, which was on Saturday, the resurrection so impacted the world is that the day of worship was changed from Saturday to the first day of the week, literally, Resurrection Sunday. That's why I said at the beginning of our service this morning, every time we come together on Sunday, we come together to worship the Lord on Resurrection Sunday. You see, back at the cross and back at the tomb, things had gotten pretty much back to normal within reason, except the Roman guard was standing at the tomb of Jesus. You see, Pilate himself so feared an insurrection of the people that if the body of Christ came missing, and so he says, I'm going to make sure he can't get out and no one can get in, so he sealed the tomb. It's a caulk-type rope compound that is heated. It melts, puts an airtight seal around that tomb, and then in addition to the seal to make it even more impenetrable, was the stamp of the seal of Rome from the signet ring of Pilate himself, which said this. You may not think of this. Remember the guards that were stationed at the grave at the tomb? When Pilate seals something, if anybody gets in or gets out, the guards who are there to take care of it, they sign their death warrant. So if they're guarding the tomb of Jesus, if anyone gets in or gets out with the Roman seal on the stone, that Cochin tomb we call it, then if that be the case and they get out, those Roman guards would die. But Sunday morning seemed to take forever to come. The guards were taking their shifts of rest when they began to hear some rustling of the brush in the not-so-distant Olive Garden just beyond the tomb. The time is now somewhere probably around 6 a.m. That was always referred to as dawn. And it was early dawn, perhaps the next day at the time beginning. And suddenly these guards could see the figures of the women coming toward the tomb just beyond the Olive Garden. Sunrise was about to happen, and these guards ready themselves with their swords and shields just in case others came to the women or came to cause trouble. They knew that the women probably would have come to try to anoint the body of Jesus. That was custom. That's what they did. Do you know something? I'm convinced that those ladies knew a whole lot more than we give them credit for. You see, I think they came, yes, to anoint the body of Jesus, but I believe those ladies believed Jesus. So when the ladies got there, they knew something was about to happen because Jesus had already said to them on the third day, I'm coming out of that thing. I want you to walk with me this morning. Over these last 4 weeks, our congregation has walked together to different areas of leading up to Christ in terms of His walk to Calvary. And I want this morning to be no different, because what I want to do is I want to take you to 5 markers. You know, markers are just simply a way to show what is happening or what has happened. And our national markers, wherever we go, in Kennesaw, for example, the national battlefield, you'll find markers everywhere. So I want you to stop. This is not a tour. I'm not taking you on some tour and we're stopping at a marker to read. I want you to do more than just read a marker this morning. I want you to feel what these ladies were feeling. I want you to sense and experience what they were doing that morning so early at the tomb. And in your outline this morning, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to deal with the first 10 verses. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And I want you to listen to this verse, and then I'll show you and tell you that marker. The verse says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, that is after 6 a.m., Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. What is the first marker? The first marker in your outline is the first witnesses. Write the word witnesses there. Matthew says that the women came to see the sepulcher. That word in the Greek, to see, is a word that means to contemplate, to gaze, to observe in order to grasp. These ladies came to be close to their Lord, the one who had meant so much to them and what had happened. But it's important to note, for it explains why the women were more prepared to believe the miracle of the resurrection. You see, they came, yes, to anoint the body of Jesus. That was custom. That's exactly what they would do. But those ladies knew that something would happen at that tomb, because Jesus has said, I will rise. And the ladies, Mary and the other Mary, according to the Gospel of Matthew, were the first and actual witnesses of His resurrection. Don't forget, they were the first and actual witnesses of His death and burial. They knew Jesus was dead. They knew where He had been laid. They had followed, according to Mark and Matthew and Luke, literally to Him with the tomb. There was no question in their mind that Jesus died on that cross on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And they came to bring those spices to anoint His body. Apparently these ladies had bought spices on Saturday evening after six, when the Sabbath ended. You could not buy things like that on the Sabbath. And they arose very early in the morning to go and take care of Him, taking care of His body. Why? Because they loved Jesus. They were obeying the law. They were strict in their observance of the Sabbath. And imagine the very fact that Jesus, their loved one, was dead. But they were the first witnesses, folks. They were on their way to the tomb early on Sunday, the first day. So we see those women come. I want you to imagine yourselves with me this morning. We're standing behind a tree, and we're watching all this. We're seeing it happen in front of our eyes. So the women, are the first witnesses. There is a second marker I want to take to this morning. It's found in verses 2 through 4. It's called the appearance of the angel. The appearance of the angel. Listen to the word of God. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Verse 2 of chapter 28 of Matthew. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now you remember the earthquake at the death of Jesus? Where that 80-plus foot veil that was about 6 inches thick that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Jerusalem was torn from top to bottom, indicating that God did it. Man couldn't even reach it. And this great earthquake, the word is mega, M-E-G-A in the Greek. Great, big, huge. It was the big one. It was God shaking the foundation of this world one more time. Why? Because He wanted to make sure people understand man is not moving the rock. God is about to do it. So now here you hear see those ladies coming up. You're standing behind that tree. I've never been in an earthquake. But I'm told that if you are, you grab the first thing you can find and hold on for dear life. Literally. And you grab that tree. Because the world starts shaking. The boy does it shake. Oh, you know, Jesus said something from the cross. The very last statement he said in the Greek was a little word called tetelestai, or telestai, which means it is finished. God was about to put his stamp of approval on everything Jesus had done on this earth. God was about to say, if you think there are other ways to heaven than through Jesus, I'm about to show you there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the blood of Jesus. And God started shaking this earth. And he shook the earth to the point that that old stone, which was probably close to well over a ton, that had dropped down in that Cochin tomb area in that trench that sealed, and that was sealed tight by the Roman emperor himself. God says, you may think you've sealed people out, but I'm about to open the door so people can come in. There was a great earthquake. And you're watching this. The ladies have got their spices. They're ready to anoint the body of Jesus. They're seeing the angel of God come down and move the stone. The Bible says that angel had the brilliance of lightning. He was clothed in white as snow. And I love this part. The angel sat on the rock after he moved it. God's way of saying victory over death. End of story. It's done. It's finished. And Matthew indicates that the guards witnessed this flashing appearance of the angel to the point that those guards were scared stiff. We've heard that in our vernacular in this day and time. The word is phobeo in the Greek. We get our word phobia from it. A lot of times this word is translated to be reverent in awe. But ladies and gentlemen, in this context, that word means you're scared right out of your skin. To the point that those men shook. They were stiff and they couldn't even function anymore. They were scared to death. But their lives were fixing to be changed forever. Because I believe that fear soon became and changed to awe and the reverence because of what they experienced. Who wouldn't, ladies and gentlemen, when you're sitting there, you had sealed the stone, you had put the signet stamp and the Roman seal by Pilate's ring on that seal, and now you're seeing what you had just done just a couple of days before. You've seen the angel move it. What about you? But I'm not too good at pushing one-ton rocks. Wow. But there's a third marker I want you to go with me to. Not only did that angel sit there and move the stone, the third thing is the message of the angel. I love this. Verses 5 and 6, listen. But the angel answered and said to the women, don't you be afraid. Wouldn't you? You know? For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. See, those ladies came there, yes, to anoint the body of Jesus, but they knew something no one else knew or believed something no one else believed. They knew he was coming out of that tomb. And here's what the angel said. He's not here. For he's risen, just like he said. See, the ladies knew before they ever left the house. I know we're going to anoint the body. This is what we've got to do. But Jesus said early on this morning, he's coming out of that thing. Then that angel said, not only is he risen, he looked to them and he said, hey ladies, come see. I love that in the Greek language. You can't see this in English. In the Greek language, the words come and see there is a little word that means come now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Come, get things taken care of, hit the road now. And then the word see says, it means to be translated like this. It means to believe. It doesn't mean just to see with your eyes. It means to believe you with your heart. So the angel is telling those women to come in now and you see for yourself in that Kochim tomb on that slab that's cut out. Look where the body of Jesus lay. And the Lord commanded those ladies to enter the tomb to be able to see with understanding. Now here we are. I can show you that empty tomb. I can show you where it all took place. You can see that stone rolled away. And I can show you and take you right up to the entrance of that tomb. But there's something I can't do for anyone in this house other than me. You have to go in there yourself. I can't do that for you. This world, we're in the minority, folks. This world thinks a believer, first of all, is narrow-minded. Then they think we're a bunch of idiots. Well, that all depends. If you believe this book to be the infallible and errant word of God from cover to cover, you believe in the resurrection. Oh. Then we have a world that says, well, this book contains the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, this book doesn't contain it. It is the Word of God. We had a statement back in the 80s and 70s. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. It really doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Jesus came out of that tomb. Why? The book says it. That's all I need to hear. And that's what the ladies said. That's what was going on with them. They were the witnesses. They literally saw what took place. And that brings to me my fourth marker this morning. Let's go back to the women in verses 7 and 8. I call it the witness of the women. I love this. The angel has now told them. He's bid them to come in. They have come into the tomb. They have seen. And now listen to what the angel tells them. Chapter 28, verse 7. And go quickly now and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, the angel says, I have told you. In other words, it's done. It's sealed. Go do it. Look at verse 8. So they went quickly. They didn't sit down. They didn't take a break. They didn't rest. They didn't retire. They went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. The angel said this, ladies, go and tell. Period. And the men were hiding for fear of Roman authorities. They needed to hear the good news of the resurrection of the Lord himself. And who did the angel send? Who did God send? The women. And he said, you go. In the Greek, it means to get up with the intention of doing something. And then there's a little word called spoudes in the Greek. Matter of fact, Nike and others get their word speedo from this. It means to go with haste, with speed, with diligence, with earnestness, and with zeal. And they were to get out of there and go tell the disciples. And that's exactly what they did. And then at the next verse, it says, then they hurried away from the tomb. Well, in the Greek, they don't use that little word spoudes to hurry. They used another word called taku. T-A-X-U, taku is the way it's pronounced. It means go quickly. It means move, move. The best way I can describe that to you is when my mom and dad wanted to be sure I did something at that moment, at that second, and don't wait. They always use my middle name, Michael. They would say, Randy Michael Cheek. One of my chores was to take out the garbage every day before I went to bed. No big deal. You know, as 7th, 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade boy, I'm at home. I'm in bed. I'm tired. Been a rough day. I've been in school. Things have happened. I'm ready to go to bed. It's somewhere around 10:30, 11 o'clock or midnight. I don't know. My mother opens my bedroom door not once but many times, and she said, Randy Michael Cheek, and turn the light on. And my wife doesn't say Randy Michael Cheek, but she turns that light on sometimes when it's dark and all that bright light hits you and you wake up real quick. And I remember doing that, and I would think, Mom, what are you doing in my room at 11:30 at night? Right after Randy Michael Cheek, take the garbage out. Oh, Mom, I'm already in bed. Take the garbage out. I'd get up. I'd do what I said. Folks, I didn't spoodace. I tacooed. I got out of that house quick because I knew what would happen on my posterior if I did not do what Mom and Dad said. That's what those ladies did. The angel says, you go get them. And then he says, no. The lady says, we're going to do more than spoodace. We're going to get out of here quickly. We want to tell. Man, they ran so fast. They ran hurried because the Bible says they were filled with chorus, with joy. And they went to tell those disciples, hey, he's gone, just like he said. He's alive. He's not in this tomb. And he's alive forevermore. That's the witness of the angels. And folks, the 21st century has got to hear this message. Jesus is alive. He's the sovereign God of this universe. And there's no hope for us other than Jesus. Amen. Then there's a fifth and final marker. The appearance of the risen Christ. As they went, verse 9 and 10, and as they went to his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, rejoice. Kairos, literally. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. I would too. Then Jesus said to them, now, the guy, don't be afraid. But you do the same thing. You go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there you will find me. We have been given the instruction. How to find Jesus. It's in an empty tomb where the stone was rolled away. Have you been in there? You've been in there. You've intentionally invited Jesus Christ into your life because you've seen an empty grave. He's alive, folks. He's alive forevermore. He is risen, and he is risen indeed. The first witnesses. Came to the tomb to anoint his body, but they knew far more than we even dreamed they knew. Then the appearance of the angel of the Lord, and then the message of that angel to come and see, and now the witness of that angel to send those ladies out to go and tell, and the appearance of the risen Christ. It's a lot to go and tell. Crown of thorns atop his head, Christ was beaten and left for dead. Punished for a crime he did not commit. Sentenced to die when Pilate washed his hands clean. As he hung on a cross, he screamed in pain. But it needed to happen for the world to gain. The final part of man's redemption was complete. But the Son of God no longer had a heartbeat. It is finished, he cried. Then he hung his head. Brought down from the cross and wrapped and covered in spices. Now we see truly how precious life is. But dear people, do not fear, for the third day is finally here. Christ is risen and he's alive from the grave. Now spread the gospel so the world he will save. Resurrected from the Father above, when he looked down and he said, arise, my love. My son wrote that over 10 years ago. I believe Michael captured the essence of the gospel when he said, Jesus looked down and he said, "Arise, my body." That's the message of Easter. He is alive. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for Easter. Wow. Thank you for taking every sin all of us in this room would ever commit to a grave. Lord, there's not a one of us in this room worthy of it. The ground at the cross is level. No one in here, including this pastor, we're not any better than anyone else. We're just saved, a sinner saved by the grace of God. And Lord, I pray this morning that all of us in this house know that in their life beyond a shadow of any doubt. As Rose and Daniel shared that with us in baptism this morning, and they made that public profession of faith and then followed through in believers' baptism, Lord, may we learn from their witness today that we too, as the Bible says, can know beyond a doubt that our home is heaven. There's an empty tomb. There's an empty cross. And you're at the right hand of your Father interceding for us as your children. Lord, thank you. We are covered from the top of our head to the bottom of the soles of our feet by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Easter. Happy Easter, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. This morning, there's a little chorus called "Lead Me, Lord." This place, every Sunday, becomes a prayer altar here. It becomes a place of doing business with God. That doesn't mean you can't do business where you are with God right where you are. He's in this house, folks. But perhaps you want to come pray. Perhaps you want to come and recommit your life. Perhaps you'd have never known the joy of intentionally asking Jesus into your heart. Matthew's here, Daniel's here, I'm here. We've got others that will be more than happy to take you and share with you on this Easter morning what that means and how to know that for sure. Whatever's on your heart, would you stand? Doug's going to come and lead us as we close this service.